Everybody, welcome back to our Three Ideas in 30 Minutes. Erev Shabbos, opportunity to get ready for this coming week's Parsha, the fourth book of the Chumash, Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Bamidbar. I want to thank two sponsors this week. Sponsored this week by Yossi and Gilda Mandel, in memory of his maternal grandparents who perished in the Holocaust. Where's Yossi? Oh, he's over there. Tzivia Bas Yisrael and Mechel David Ben Tzvi Hirsch. Our learning should be an aliyah for their neshamas. Also, I want to thank a friend from not living here in Boca, Chaim Yehuda Meir, who sponsored tonight in honor of Rabbi Moskowitz, which allows the global BRS community to acquire Olam Haba in 30 minutes with three ideas of the Parsha each week. Did you guys know you're acquiring Olam Haba tonight? Well, you are. And of course, as always, our learning should be in Aliyah for the Neshama of Esther Tila Bas Gabriel Pinchas. I want to thank both of our sponsors very, very much for a deluxe evening of food, chillant, chicken nuggets, Coke, and pastries. It does not get any better than that. But it does, because the Torah is going to be even more delicious than the food here tonight. Okay, here we go. We've got it with that, right? All right, we've got three ideas in 30 minutes. Here we go. Idea number one comes from the Maor Vashemesh. The Maor Vashemesh writes the following. Very strange medrash appears on our parsha this week. It's on the right-hand side of page number one. B'shash nigla kadosh baruch hu al Sinai. When Hashem appears at our Sinai, Yardu Imo Chaf Beis Elef Revavo Shamalachim. With him come 22,000 angels. V'yukulam asuyim degalam degalam. And each angel has a flag. Kevan Shira'u Osan Yisrael Shem asuyim degalam. When the Jewish people saw that each of the 22,000 angels had a flag, in other words, they had something identifying them, Hischilu Mitz'avin LeDegalam. They became jealous of these flags. Amru, they said to Hashem, Halavai, kach anu nasim degalim kamosam. If only we could have flags like these angels. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Manisa veisem. Lasot degalim, Hashem says, what do you want? You want flags? Flags you will get. Chayechem, sheani memale mishaloseichem. I'm going to fulfill that desire. And that's what the pasuk in the Parsha this week's tell us, where it says, Ish al diglo, that each tribe is divided by a flag. Okay, that's a very strange medrash, right? Why flags? Why couldn't they do anything else? The medrash says, because apparently there were 22,000 angels. These angels each had flags. The Jewish people were jealous of those flags. And Hashem said, okay, if that's all you want, then I'll give you the flags. Ask the Maor Vashemesh two questions. He says, wait a second. What was it about the flags that made them covet it so much? In other words, I understand if you told me that each of the 22,000 angels had a Lamborghini. Okay, just today I was driving by a Bentley convertible. Okay, if each of the 22,000 angels drove a Bentley convertible and everyone looked at it and said, Hashem, I want one of those also, okay, you would understand it. What was it, he says, V'tzarech la'avina chemda zomahi. What was it about this degel? What was it about this flag that made the Jewish people want it so badly? Wasn't a delicious chillant, wasn't a filet mignon, it wasn't a fancy scotch, nice bottle of wine, nice bottle of tequila, right? This was a flag. What was so exciting about a flag that the Jewish people wanted it so much? In number two, he said, Ve'ot tzarech la'avina inan degalim shel malachim mahi. What does this mean, that the angels had flags? Couldn't you have just told us that the angels came out, that there were angels, okay, 22,000 angels. Why did the angels have to have flags specifically? So those are the two questions the Maor Vashemesh. Number one is, why did they have to have flags? And number two, what was so exciting about the flags that the Jewish people desired the flags so much, that was their big request, right? You know, like the genie. They had a request from Hashem. Hashem said, whatever I'm going to give you. They said, we want the flags. That wouldn't have been my request. I doubt it would have been Glenn's request, right? Maybe a Magnum bottle or something. I don't know. But the flags wouldn't have been it. Says the Maor Vashemesh something so beautiful. Israeli flag, maybe, that's right. Says the Maor Vashemesh something very beautiful. He says that the defining nature of a person is when they recognize who they are and they recognize their place. What he describes, Tzarech Adam Lahakir Erko Be'ezah Makam Yemekomo. Everyone has to know their value. They have to know what they're good at, and they can't always be looking at over their shoulder at everybody else. So you have to be very comfortable in your skin. Yeshev b'makom ha'aroy lo. You have to stay in your lane, so to speak, in a healthy way. V'al yidchok es atzmo yosim richatzo. I should not desire to be you. You should not desire to be me. I shouldn't look over my shoulder and say, why aren't I more like that person? And you shouldn't be looking over your shoulder and saying, why aren't I more like the other person? Each of us have to be confident in our own skill. And each of us have to be comfortable with the gifts, the talents, the resources, the abilities that Hashem gave us. Each of us are different. Some of us are extroverted. Some of us are introverted. Some of us might be better people person. Some of us might be better at computers, right? Each of us has a different set of skills. Now, that might make me good at one thing and you good at another thing, but says the Marvish Emerson, that's okay. Everyone has to be bimkomo. Everyone has to know their place and be very comfortable and be very confident in their place as well. This, he explains, is the notion of the flags of the angels. He says the angels with their flags, it was their way of recognizing that I am unique, that I am different from everybody else, but I'm going to wave that flag proudly. I'm okay with the fact that I have my little portion in this world, that I have my tafke, that I have my unique purpose in this world. It's going to be different than everybody else's, and I'm okay with that. So if you go to page number 3, he writes that Shenigla Kadosh Baruch Hu Har Sinai, when Hashem revealed himself to Har Sinai, and these 22,000 angels come, and all of them have their degel. What's the degel? What's the flag? Shechanu isha machaneo v'isha diglo v'lo zal shum echad mehem mechitzasu afiliros yekar tiferes gedula sabor yitzbaruch bu. Ela kol echad amad bimkomo shanan v'heshket. Which means everyone was comfortable. Everyone was content with where they were. K'shero Yisrael zos. When the Jewish people saw that there was a concept of being an individual, of being different, and yet being proud of that, and not constantly looking over your shoulder at what everyone else is doing, and not constantly being jealous of everybody else, hischilu mis'avin l'degalim. They said, we want that too. The degel, the flag, represents the individuality. And the fact that they waved that individuality proudly, saying, I am who I am, and I'm not trying to be anybody else. I'm not trying to be you. You're not trying to be me. And therefore, I'm not jealous of you. I'm not coveting you. I'm not desiring you. I'm not arguing with you. I'm very comfortable with who I am. So the Jewish people were jealous of that. And they said, halavai, if only we could have that as well. Rotza lomar, halavai sheyu beneinu. Midazo, if only we had this character trait as well. Sheyakir kol echad mimkomo haro'ilo, that everyone realize and recognize their unique individuality. Velo yidchok es chaver la los lamala. And I wasn't trying to be you. And I wasn't jealous of you. And I wasn't trying to take something away from you because I want... No, I was okay with who I am. I was proud of my individuality. And I waved that banner proudly. That's what it means that they were jealous of the angels, because the Jewish people wanted that as well. Umadrega zo, he says on the bottom of the left-hand side, page number 3, he says, this lesson, this level, we learn from Har Sinai. Sharoa malachim nasu degalim shalom nichnas echad b'tchum chaveru. No one tried to be like anybody else. No one tried to live someone else's life. Lo Michael nichnas b'tchum Gavriel. Michael didn't try to be like Gavriel. And the angel Gavriel didn't try to be like the angel Michael. Philip Moskowitz didn't try to be like Glenn Gollish. Glenn Gollish didn't try to be like Philip Moskowitz. And so everyone was comfortable with who they are. They were proud of the individuality, of the way that Hashem created them, of what makes them unique and different from every other person. Ra kol echad omed al mekomo. Everyone was comfortable with who they are. Kach nisavu Yisrael v'amru halavai anu osim kach. And they said, if only we could achieve this level as well. I think that's such a beautiful and powerful reminder to us about what unity is and what unity is not. To be part of a community doesn't mean you give up your individuality. To be part of a community recognizes that I am unique, that I am different, that I have a special skill set, that each of us has our own talents, abilities, resources, qualities that Hashem gave to me, which is unique from any of you. And the moment I'm able to recognize what makes me unique, then I can get along with everybody else. Because then there's no longer jealousy. Then there's no longer people fighting with one another. There's no longer stealing or coveting or all the bad qualities that drive neighbors apart and drive friends apart doesn't exist if you simply are comfortable with who you are and you're not always trying to be someone else. And so when the Jewish people saw that the angels were all unified, not unified that they were all the same, but unified meaning they were different And they were okay with that. And because they were different and they were okay with that, they all got along. That's what it means to be part of a community. That's what it means to be unified as a community. That each of us recognizes, Hashem created me unique. I'm going to celebrate my uniqueness. I'm going to celebrate my individuality. I'm proud of what makes me different. And I'm willing to contribute it to the community, but I'm not looking over my shoulder. And I'm not fighting with someone else, and I'm not jealous of someone else. I'm not coveting someone else, but I'm bimkomo. I'm okay with my place. I'm okay with my place. And when everyone brings that mentality, that is what creates the unity that the Torah so powerfully describes in our Parsha this coming week. That's idea number one from the Mor Vashemesh. Okay, idea number two comes from Rabbi Alex Israel. A beautiful, succinct piece, but I think such a powerful lesson. Glenn, I think you're going to like this one. The Pasuk tells us in the Torah that when they come to around the Mishkan, it describes that they're going to encamp mineged saviv. Mineged saviv. Now the word mineged means opposite. And the word saviv means around. Asks Rabbi Alex Israel, he says, I don't understand. The relationship, you see that arrow on the left-hand side, the relationship between the camp and the tabernacle, the Mishkan, is described by two words, mineged, which is translated as opposite or opposed to, and saviv, which means surrounding or circling. On closer examination, we realize that these two phrases are dramatically different. They're contradictory. In other words, on the one hand, the word mineged means opposite. It means pulling away from something, a clash, a repulsion, a tension, a distancing force. On the other hand, saviv represents encircling, gather around. It's an inward magnetic pull, it's a centripetal force that attracts everyone together to the center. And so he says, what a strange way to describe their encampment in the Mishkan. Mineged means there's tension, that they were opposite each other. Saviv means that there's this unifying centripetal force, that there's this magnetic pull that's bringing everyone together. And so you're left with the question, which one is it? Are they apart or are they together? Why do you have mineged saviv? Two contradictory words. It can't be both. And that's what he asks on the right-hand side. Why this dual relationship? How do we reconcile these two opposing phrases? Why should we feel distanced from our holy Mishkan? And how should we decide between the two options? Is our relationship with the Mishkan one of attraction or one of repulsion? Are we supposed to feel close to the Mishkan or away from the Mishkan? Listen to what he says. It is so beautiful. It applies to every single one of us. He says, on the one hand, there are times in all of our lives when we feel a strong desire to draw near to Hashem and to religion. What he describes is we feel attracted to it, and it gives us meaning. We desire to envelop and totally immerse ourselves in the holiness of God and in the way, the life that he has given to us. In other words, there are times when you feel very drawn to Judaism. You feel very close to it. Your davening might be meaningful. Your learning might be fulfilling. Your tzedakah is, right? Whatever your mitzvah is, it's working and it's fulfilling for you. On the other hand, he says, despite this positive pull, in the direct contrast to it, there are times when we feel the opposite, when we feel a need to escape, to break the yoke of heaven. There are times when Judaism seems too much, too restrictive. We need our space and we need our freedom. And so sometimes we're drawn into Judaism, and sometimes we're drawn away from Judaism. Sometimes it feels too much. It feels too restrictive. It feels too burdensome. Sometimes my davening is just monotonous and robotic, and sometimes my learning doesn't really mean anything to me, and sometimes I'm just angry at God, whatever it might be. But I'm not feeling pulled towards Judaism. I'm feeling pulled away from Judaism. Says Rabbi Alex Israel, that is exactly the point. This dialectic, in other words, mineged saviv, that on the one hand I'm pulled towards and on the other hand I'm pulled away, goes back to the very origin of our religion. That's what it means to be a Jew. To be a Jew means there are times that Judaism enchants and attracts us when it seems like the potion of life. That is saviv. That is when we feel that magnetic pull towards our Judaism. On the other hand, there are times when we experience the need to flee from religion, when Judaism feels like a crushing load of 613 mitzvos, controlling our every action, every move, that is mineged. There are sometimes I feel connected to Judaism, there are sometimes I don't. There are sometimes my davening works, and there are sometimes when it's just not clicking. There's sometimes when my learning is fulfilling. There's sometimes when I really can't make the time for it. That's the dialectic. That's the tug and pull of Mineged Saviv. Says Rabbi Alex Israel, both of those are what makes up Judaism. Learning to serve Hashem through both of those moments. It's not just enough to serve Hashem when it's easy. It's not just enough to serve Hashem during those Saviv moments when I'm feeling that magnetic pull towards Judaism and towards Hashem. You have to learn to also serve Hashem when it is Mineged. When you're feeling pulled away from Judaism. When it feels more of a burden than it is a privilege. Even in those moments, you still have to serve Hashem. And that's what the Torah tells us. When it says you have to serve Hashem bechol levavcha, with all of your heart, and says the Meforshim, bechol levavcha b'shnei yitzircha, with your Yetzer HaTov and your Yetzer HaRa, that we have to learn to serve Hashem both with our Yetzer HaTov, when it's easy, that's the Saviv, but also with our Yetzer HaRa. What does it mean to serve Hashem with your Yetzer HaRa? It means even when it is Mineged, even when I feel pulled away from Judaism, even when I might be angry or upset or something's not working, you have to learn to serve Hashem then as well. And so specifically, when we're talking about this experience of the Mishkan, when we're talking about the epicenter of our religion, it's both Mineged and Saviv. There are moments of Saviv when we feel close. There are moments of Mineged when we feel apart. But both of them, both of those moments form our service of Hashem. Both of those form the basis of our Mishkan. This idea spoke to me in a very beautiful way. I think it speaks to a lot of people. I think everyone has Mineged moments in their life, and everyone has Saviv moments in their life. Everyone has moments where, as he describes, there's that desire, there's that attraction, there's that easy meaning. And then everyone also feels at different times the opposite. When they feel that Mineged, when they feel the overwhelming burden of their Judaism, when it feels too restrictive, and they need space, and they need freedom, or they're just not, it's not clicking with them, it's not working for them. And yet, even in those moments, you have to remember that you're around the Mishkan, and that's a way to serve Hashem as well. And so both of those represent different mindsets, different attitudes. There's the Mineged attitude, there's the Saviv attitude. We have to learn to serve Hashem through both. So idea number one was the Mor Vashemesh, that this strange medrash about the 22,000 angels holding flags, and we asked, what is that all about? And we described that the flags represented a person's individuality, and the Jewish people were jealous of the fact that there was angels who could both be proud of their individuality and therefore not infighting and not divisiveness and not jealousy. And so the Jewish people wanted that. And Hashem says, if that's what you want, that's what I'll give you. That's the Ish Al Diglo. That's the way that we count in this Parsha, because that's what we wanted. We're proud of our individuality. We're not jealous. We're not always looking over our shoulders. And when everyone does that, it lessens, it reduces the acrimony and the infighting and the divisiveness that oftentimes exists as a result of people being jealous of other people. Idea number two was this very beautiful idea, which I think you have to think about a little bit. It's a very beautiful idea from Rabbi Alex Israel. Why does the Torah use two contradictory terms? Mineged, which means opposite, and Saviv, which means to pull together. How can you both be opposite and pull together at the same time? Because that's what it means to be a Jew. Sometimes you feel close, sometimes you feel distant. Sometimes you feel pulled in, sometimes you feel pulled away. Both of those, though, are the way we have to serve Hashem. We have to serve Hashem both in the Mineged moments and in the Saviv moments as well. Idea number three comes from the Tiferes Shlomo Radomsk, who we've been quoting a lot, both in Drushas and in the Parsha Chabura of late. As someone called me on a few Shabbos ago, or a dump to chassid. I don't know what that means, but I'll take it as a flattering comment. Okay, says the Tiferes Shlomo, in the Torah, when it tells us about the counting of the Jewish people, I just don't have the pasuk in front of me, so it uses a very strange word. And the word is, drum roll please, okay, Suas Rosh Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael Mishmo Chasam Levei Savosam, you count them, litzva in litzivosam. Now, Glenn, you know this word. What did tzava mean? Tzava is the army. Tzva is the army. And so in fact, if you look at the Unculus writes, L'chai lehon, that you're counting those who are ready for the army. That's how we count them. But what does this mean, Tzva? Why out of all descriptions, why out of all criteria, does the Torah go out of its way over and over again to say, L'tziv osam, or L'tzva? Couldn't it have used a different mechanism for deciding how to count people, how not to count people? In fact, the Ramban translates it differently. He doesn't say that it's tzava in terms of army, but tzava in terms of like multitudes. It's like a nice translation that the Ramban uses, not necessarily tzava. But most Mefarshim, classic Mefarshim, say that, yeah, it's based on the age level of the army service. Says it to Tiferes Shlomo, something very different. He says that's not what tzava means. Tzava, and I'll show you some examples, is referred to oftentimes when it's talking about, this is our second out of three ideas talking about this, angels. Angels are oftentimes referred to as the Tzivos Hashem. So for example, on Friday night in our davening, and again in our Kiddush, what do we say? Vayechulu Hashemayim v'artz v'chol Tzva'am. What is Tzva'am talking? We're not talking about the army, right? What stopped? The army didn't stop. Who's it talking about? So Tzva'am is the celestial beings. The Tzva'am are the angels. There's the celestial beings. So if that's the case, what do angels have to do here? That they're counting the people in the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar according to Tzva. Tzva, so the Unkelos says it's the army, but Tiferes Shlomo says it's talking about the angels. What angels does a person have that we're counting the person by? And he says something so beautiful. He says that every mitzvah that a person does, and we know this from Chazal as well, every mitzvah that a person does, he creates a malach, an angel. He says, "Kol mitzvah u'mitzvah she'adam oseh b'shleimus." Whenever we do a mitzvah properly, nivra mimenu malach, an angel is created as a result of that mitzvah, and that is what it means. Kol yotzei tzava b'Yisrael. It meant that Moshe and Aaron were not just counting the people, but when they saw the person, they saw all of the mitzvos that the person did as well. All of the angels that were created as a result of the mitzvos. And therefore, v'hinei shem Elokei tzva'osu, ha-mitzvos shel b'nei Yisrael shenivru mehem. When we talk about the tzva'os of Hashem, it doesn't mean the army of Hashem, or even the, it's talking about the angels that were created because of the mitzvos that we perform. Now, in and of itself, let's just pause here. That is a beautiful idea. I want every person, when you go and do a mitzvah from now on, I want you to stop for yourself and think, I just created another angel. I just created another positive energy force in this world. But what does that have to do with our parsha? Why, when Moshe and Aaron are counting the Jewish people, are they counting the angels? So he writes that that's the beauty of it. That when tzaddikim look at someone, when someone who's a righteous person looks at another person, you can look at someone, you could see their faults, you could see their imperfections, you could see their failures, you could see their shortcomings, right? There are lots of ways you could look at another person. But a tzaddik, a righteous person, when they look at that person, you know what they see? They see the best in that person. They're not seeing all the failures and the faults and the shortcomings and the mistakes. They are seeing the goodness in another person. And so when Moshe and Aaron saw the Jewish people, when they came and they counted you and you and you, they didn't just see you, flesh and blood. And they were able to look past all of your shortcomings and all of your mistakes and all of your failures. And they were able to see Kol Tzva'a. They were able to see all of the angels that were created as a result of the goodness that you bring into this world. Because every single one of us, no matter how imperfect and mistaken we might be, every single one of us has goodness in us. Every single one of us creates angels in the way that we behave, in the way that we conduct ourselves, the way we treat other people, the way we learn, the way we daven, the way we give tzedakah. Every time we do a mitzvah, every time we help someone, every time we give encouragement to someone, every time we do a good deed, we're creating angels. And so when Moshe and Aaron saw you, they saw little angels hovering around you. What does that mean, they saw little angels hovering around you? It means they saw the goodness in you. They saw the mitzvahs that you were able to accomplish and the goodness that you were able to bring into the world. And he says, now you understand why it was Moshe and Aaron who had to do the counting. Why couldn't it be anybody else? Right? If we had to do a census of the shul, I don't know, probably wouldn't be Rabbi Goldberg's job. Right? I mean, we have other staff members, we have board members, we have probably wouldn't be Rabbi Goldberg's job. My guess is if Rabbi Goldberg called you up and said, you know, Glenn Galsh, I'm doing a census of the shul. Can you tell me how many people are in your house? You'd be like, Rabbi, why are you wasting your time with that? Go teach Torah. Go spread Hashem to the world. Let someone else do the census. And yet here in our parsha, says the Tiferet Shlomo, who's doing the counting? It's Moshe and Aaron. Why Moshe and Aaron? He says, because it takes a very special person to see that goodness in someone else. A petty, small-minded person, they're going to see the mistakes and the failures, the shortcomings. They're going to see all that. But it's going to take Moshe and Aaron to look past that and to see not just the person, but the Tziv Osam, the Tzava, the angels that are created as a result of that person. And therefore, he says in the underline on the left-hand side, Hayotze Mizeh, Ki Rak HaTzadikim Halalu Moshe V'Aaron. It's only Moshe and Aaron. Yuchlu Limnos Es B'nei Yisrael. They were only able to count the Jewish people. Why? Ki Yadu. Kol ha-malachim she-nivru mi-manaseim ha-tovim. Because they were able to see all of the good that everyone did. And that's what it means, tifkidu osam ata vi-aron. Yotzei tzva'a. Heim tzva marom ha-malachim she-nivru mi-na-metos. Moshe and Aaron were able to see the angels. They were able to see the goodness that was created because of people's mitzvos. I love two ideas about this. Number one is I just love the imagery. And it's a beautiful reminder to us that when we do a mitzvah, we create angels, we create goodness, we create positive energy and life force into this world. He says, that's, by the way, why when we come Friday night, I don't want to get into it now, but he says that's the basis of Shalom Aleichem, right? We're welcoming in the angels. What are these angels that we're welcoming in? He says it's the angels of the whole week. All of the mitzvahs that you did that week, all those angels are gathered around your Shabbos table. And then when we say, B'tseischem l'shalom, we're not kicking them out of the house. You know what we're telling them? We're saying, go do your job. Like, go up. Tzeischem. Not like get out, but go up. Rise up. And let's go to the heavens and be a positive force for us up there. So think about that. When you come to the Shabbos table, according to the Tiferet Shlomo, and you say, Shalom Aleichem, what angels are you welcoming in? You're welcoming you guys are here sitting learning Torah tonight. You're creating angels. Those angels are going to be around your Shabbos table this week. So I love that imagery, and I think it gives us such a motivational push every time we do mitzvahs, to remember the cosmic impact that we are making on this world. But I think there's another side to it, and that's the Moshe and Aaron side. That there are two ways to look at a person. You can look at a person with small eyes and notice those faults and the shortcomings and mistakes that a person makes. Or you can look at a person and look past all of that and see the mitzvahs, the beauty, the goodness that they bring into the world. You could see this, so to speak, the quote-unquote angels that are created as a result of their actions. That is a beautiful way to look at other people. That's something that every single one of us can certainly work on over this coming week as we come to Shavuot. So we saw three ideas, I think three very beautiful ideas. The first idea was the Vemor Vashemesh, a reminder about individuality, but also being comfortable with who we are. Each of us are individuals. And the better off we'll be when we realize that I don't have to look over my shoulder. I don't have to be you. You don't have to be me. The angel Michael didn't try to be like the angel Gabriel. And I don't have to be like you. I am independent. I'm individual. And I'm okay with that. And when everyone is like that and people aren't trying to be like everybody else, you could solve a lot of fighting and you could solve a lot of problems. Idea number two was the idea from Rav Alex Israel. Mineged Saviv. What does that mean? Two contradictory turns. Mineged means to pull away. Saviv means to pull together. He says, that's the point. Both of those are what makes Judaism. Sometimes we feel Saviv. Sometimes we feel close. Other times we feel Mineged. Other times we feel far apart. We have to learn to serve Hashem in both of those moments. And last one, the Tiferet Shlomo, which I personally got excited about. What is this Litziv Osam? What is the Tzava that we're talking about here? So the Unkelus and classic Mefarshim say we're talking about the army. Tiferet Shlomo says you're not talking to the army. That Tzava is a reference to the angels. And it's a reminder to us that every time we perform a mitzvah, we're creating angels in the world. And so when Moshe and Aaron saw the Jewish people, they didn't just see Philip Moskowitz, but they saw the angels that Philip Moskowitz created. They saw the mitzvos that I was able to do. Yes, I'm not perfect. And yes, I have mistakes. And yes, I have my shortcomings. And yes, I fall short a lot. But Moshe and Aaron were able to look past that. And they were able to see the goodness in every single person. They were able to see the mitzvos. They were able to see the angels that that person brought into this world. That's what we celebrate Friday night at our Shabbos tables with Shalom Aleichem. We welcome in the angels from the week, and that is something unique that a tzaddik is able to see. That is what defines a tzaddik, being able to see that goodness in every person. Wish everyone a good